This morning we have a family of five, and four of them are going to be baptized together this morning. This is the dad and the husband. This is Don Michael. Don, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Based on your public profession of faith in Jesus, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life.
And this is Jenny Michael. Jenny, I've got a question for you. Are you 100% sure that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then, Jenny, because of that decision, I can baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a new way of life.
And this is Katrina Michael. Katrina, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Based on your public profession of faith in Jesus, it's my privilege to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life.
This is Maria Avila. Maria, are you 100% sure that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then Maria, because of that decision, I can baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a new way of life.
And church, this is Chase Bowerman. Chase is 10 years old. Chase, is Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life? Awesome. Based on your public profession of faith in Jesus, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Let's stand today. Are you counting on God?
In a fight not physical, not in a war, but not with a squirrel. You are the life that's beautiful.
Let's say it again. I'm in a fight.
I'm in a fight, not physical.
I'm in a war.
I'm in a war, but not with this world. You are the light that's beautiful.
Light that's beautiful.
My faith is
is all about the glory of God. Today is all about the glory of God. Let's all worship.
And all the glory, all the honor, all the praises to you.
Let's sing all the glory.
All the glory.
Have a seat. We're going to continue to worship. But we specifically designed this service to be a little bit different this morning. And I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for you that you enter into His courts with thanksgiving. Father, I pray that this morning, as we continue to worship the holiness and the majesty of our Father, that Lord, today, sometimes we just walk into church and we do not know why we are here. And sometimes we walk into church because we were told to walk into church. But Lord, I pray that today, through the opening and the preaching of the Word of God, and that through the worship of the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit that lives in us will begin to resonate where we cannot control the fact that we are redeemed. And that, Lord, this morning, that if someone does not know you, that the worship of the saints will draw them closer to that relationship. So, Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. And we give you glory for the difficult things. And we give you honor for the hard times. And we give you praise for the darkest of night. Because then everything is on equal footing. So today, as we worship, still our hearts and our minds to focus on the glory of God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Now, from your seat, let's continue to sing all the glory. We're ready. Let's sing.
All the glory.
Thank you.
Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He.
Holy Lord.
Sing a new song to Him who sits on.
His name
filled with wonder, awestruck. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my King, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing.
Amen. Let's remain standing. Wow. That's, you know, it is why we came today, is to proclaim His glory. We want to say thank you for being here today. We know that, man, on a great weekend like this, you had a lot of options, but this was the best option, right? We're glad you're here. For those of you who are guests or first-time attenders, maybe you've just been here a couple of times, there's a communication card in your seat back. Would you please give us as much information as you're willing to part with so we can communicate with you? On the back side, for any of you, regular attenders, there's a prayer section there. We'd love to pray for you. These get passed around, and we pray for all of these needs. And, you know, if it's not enough for you to communicate with us so we know you're here, or to give us a prayer request, I think I talked to Andy Wilson, and what we're going to do is we're going to put these, Pastor, if it's okay, we're going to put these in a drawing next week, and we're going to give Andy's car away for everybody that turns one in, something like that. Is that okay? So if that motivates you to turn one of those in, then that'll be good, okay? That's a joke for anybody that got that on recordings and all that stuff. We're not doing a giveaway. It's generosity. We're practicing generosity. Exactly. Tell you, why don't you turn around and tell someone thank you for being here this morning? Well, we hate to interrupt you while you are having fun. If you would be seated. There are many great things that happen in this fellowship. Both campuses, all of our sites throughout Northwest Arkansas. Man, Easter was fantastic. Easter week, throughout Easter week, Andy, if I'm correct, did we establish that that was the deal? And I hope I'm not stealing some thunder somewhere, Pastor, but boy, we had a great week. And probably one of the best. So we are excited and thank you for your work in that. And because we give, we're able to do so many things. We want to say thank you to those of you who support this ministry week in and week out. Apart from your giving, your faithfulness, we can't do it. And I pray that some of you who are trying to get there, you're praying through it, you know that God is drawing you. Man, I pray that you can get there soon. And remember how it was with me when I first became a believer, when two men came to my house and talked to, they actually came to my house and talked to me about giving. We haven't done that to you yet. And when I made that decision to begin to give, what a blessing it's been all these years. I want to pray for us, then our ushers are going to receive the offering this morning. Father, we bless you. Lord, we know that we, everyone in this room on both of our campuses, we are more blessed than so many others around the world. Lord, if we can't give for that reason alone, we're practicing selfishness and not generosity. So, Lord, would you help us to practice generosity, to bring the full tithe to you, to bring the offerings to you. Lord, we ask you to use it to take the ministries of this church, such as the team that will leave for Haiti next Friday. We ask you to bless that effort. Put your hand on them. Thank you for their willingness to go and be ambassadors. Thank you for those that will be in connection groups today sharing the gospel. Father, would you use these offerings to continue your kingdom's work here on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Matthew chapter number 6 is the text today for the message that I want to bring to you that we believe the Lord wants us to hear clearly from His Word today about this passage. I'd like for you, if you would please, in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand with me as we read together a little longer section of Scripture than we normally read. But in Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar passage beginning in verse 19, reading through verse number 34. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The eye of the lamp is the body, and if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is the darkness? No one can be a slave of two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and of money. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the idolaters seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." We thank you, Father, for the words of your Son, Jesus, how profound and how real they were and they still are today. Use these words today to penetrate the depths of our heart and move us towards being more like Christ here this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Just recently, the news has been consumed with the story of professional golfer Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is obviously one of the greatest golfers to have ever played the game and could go down as the greatest of them all. Tiger recently fell from grace, the grace of his family and the grace of public reputation and opinion. A man who had been lifted up as being almost flawless is a man today that is struggling to find his own for the future. When Tiger gave his initial confession, it was a powerful moment. It was a riveting confession. And I want to add today his confession as a Buddhist about his sin was greater than most Christian ministers have ever stated in responsibility for them owning their own sin and being accountable to the church of Jesus Christ. You see, the thing I liked about what he did, he confessed his sin. He owned his sin. He took responsibility for his sin. He made himself accountable for his sin. He has tried to get help for his sin and is now trying to put his family back together. That's far greater than many Christians I know in my life. When Tiger gave his confession, the following words were stated. He said, "Buddhism teaches that a craving for things outside of ourselves causes an unhappy and pointless search for security." This is an interesting statement when you look at it and you really go down deep on it. And while I applaud his confession, his theology, I struggle with. You see, here is a confession of a man who really believes and has been taught all of his life that he'll find it all within himself. Let me tell you what you will find within yourself, that your heart is deceitfully wicked and you will not even know it. You will find within yourself that you are depraved, totally separated from God, without no hope, without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray that one day, somehow, some way, some godly, spirit-controlled golfer or leader or someone in his life will be able to introduce him to personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who ends the search for ultimate significance in life. You see, what Tiger understood, though, and what he has now discovered is exactly what I want to talk about this morning. There are some things in life that matter, and there are some things in life that do not. This morning, I want you to listen, and I want you to learn. I want you to grow. I want you to be challenged by the Word of God. Because this morning, I'm going to talk to you about what matters, what doesn't. Since we, as born-again believers, are to live under the authority of the cross of Jesus Christ, and we are to live under the authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I am reminded of the powerful words of our Savior, Jesus, that came through the Apostle Paul. When Paul was writing to the church at Galatia and the churches around that city, he stated this, as we know, chapter 6, verse 14, when he said, "But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, today we are here to boast only of Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ. Bottom line, Jesus is what matters, and nothing else really does. There is no one who knows more than Jesus Christ. There is no one who gives greater counsel for your life than Jesus Christ. There is not a psychologist. There is not a psychiatrist. There is not a doctor. There is not a nurse. There is not a friend. There is not a preacher. There is not a pastor who could ever give you greater advice and greater counsel for your life than Jesus Christ. When I think about that, I think about where Jesus was. I've been there several times now, right beside the Sea of Galilee, talking to those people, delivering what we would know in the Scripture as a Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus was talking to them about what matters and what really doesn't in life. And he gives to us today some principles that I want to lift out of the Scripture for you and for me. Five principles that teaches us about what matters and what doesn't in your life and my life. What did Jesus teach us? First of all, Jesus taught us in principle number one, what you invest in heaven matters, and what you value on this earth does not. That's what Jesus said. He said, whatever you invest in heaven, it matters. And the very things that you tend to value on this earth, they really do not matter at all. Jesus uses the word in verse 19, the word treasure. That word treasure is a word that means what you value, what you hold dear in your life. There are possessions that you hold dear. There may be people that you hold dear, relationships that you hold dear. But what Jesus said, whatever you treasure, whatever you value, is what's really showing others what is in your heart. But Jesus said we have to concentrate on valuing and treasuring the mighty things of life, the long-term things of life, the eternal investment of life. Temporal things are the things that many of us value. In fact, quite honestly, many of us treasure these things. Things like position, pride, our material assets, our position, the accolades of man, the praise of others. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, what you treasure in heaven, what you invest in heaven matters. And what you value on this earth does not matter. What would be those eternal things that we need to value? People. We need to value people. People will be the only things that will go to heaven one day. You won't take anything else to heaven with you. All this stuff you're working for, you're slaving for. You will only take people to heaven. What should you value? You should value the Great Commission. The commission to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in the world and to make disciples of all the nations. That's what we should value, because it's that, when that gospel is shared, that has the power to transform someone's life so that they too can go to heaven. Because you see, you can have all the business relationships you want down here. You can have all kinds of relationships you desire down here on this earth. But the only relationship that's going to mean anything when it's all said and done beyond your relationship with Christ is your relationship with someone that you have been able to introduce to faith and trust in Jesus and Him alone for their salvation. We should make investments in heaven, in heavenly things, in eternal things. Jesus said, what you treasure, what you invest in heaven is what matters. And what you value on this earth does not. Jesus gave us a second principle. You think he knows what he's talking about? Jesus said, serving God matters, and serving money does not. Verse 24, Jesus challenged us and said, guys, your heart can only go in one direction. Your heart can only be pulled in one direction. You can't have two. You got to have one. Can you imagine what would happen if every man had two wives? Can you imagine what would happen if every woman had two husbands? I can't understand how Solomon put up with all that and how they put up with him. That's amazing. I don't understand all that. One day I'll talk to God about that, but don't need to worry about it today. But the thing is that you cannot give your heart but to one person. One person. And Jesus is saying, guys, you can't sell yourself out for a system of this world that's all and ultimately about money. He said, you've got to sell yourself out to something that is greater and more long-term and more long-lasting and more eternal, and that is serving God. What are you serving today? Jesus said this profound word, you cannot serve two masters. Have you ever tried to have two bosses? Not easy. Three bosses? A little difficult. Jesus said, serving God matters, serving others does not. In your life, what matters? What you give your time to matters. What you give your life to matters. What you give your treasure to matters. God matters, bottom line, Jesus said. And Jesus said, money does not. You see this tension? This tension. Here you are, you're living on this earth. You are living in the midst of this struggle of trying to get through life. And there's this constant, eternal pull of Jesus calling you into himself. And there's this magnetic force in this world that makes you fall in love with this world to where you sell your soul here. And Jesus, he doesn't understand that. Remember, he gives you better, more long-term counsel and advice than anyone you've ever met, known, or read in your life. And he's telling you, serving God matters, and serving God, others, money does not. Principle number three, God providing for your needs matters, while seeking food and drink and clothing does not. Jesus said in verse 25, he said, isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? What a powerful statement. We need to remind ourselves of that from time to time. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Just wanted to get that in there. Jesus said in the last of verse 30, he said, he could do much more for you, you of little faith. I mean, if God is able to take care of the grass of the field, and God is able to take care of providing the needs of others, surely God is able to take care of providing for you. You see, here is where the real challenge of life is discerning what matters and what doesn't. Life does not revolve around what you eat, what you drink, and what you wear. That's what Jesus said. Now, I know that doesn't sound very American. In fact, most of us, we have that American dream that we just fall in love with, where we just sell our souls to. It's about what I'm going to eat. It's about what I'm going to drink. It's about what I'm going to wear, where I'm going to live, what I'm going to drive, and who I'm going to know. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But Jesus says there's so much more. And Jesus said it is much more, because life is about seeing how God takes care of you. That's what life is about. Think about it. If it's all on you, the pressure you feel, the stress you're under, the weariness you experience. But if it's about him, and life is an adventure of discovering and knowing and hearing and seeing and sensing and believing and watching God provide for you. Man, that's a thrill. Anybody agree with that? Amen. These are words of Jesus, folks. I mean, this needs to get all over us today. Life is about seeing how God prepares for you and God provides for you. Jesus said, if I can provide for the birds of the air, and I can provide for the flowers on this earth, and I can take care of the fields, then how much more am I going to do for you, oh, you of little faith? So every one of you today that's wondering about what's going to go on, get your eyes back on Christ. Trust him. Get in on God's plan of provision. You trust the Lord. God providing for you is far greater than you trying to provide for yourself. Principle number four, faith matters, worry does not. You know, that word worry is an interesting word. We read about that whole process of worry. We see In verse 31, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Verse 31, verse 32, isn't it amazing what Jesus said? Now listen to this. Now I want you to get this dynamic. Listen to what Jesus said. Keep it in the context. Jesus said that if that's what you seek in your life, you're an idolater. Whoa. You talk about a rebuke on the American culture and on life. Jesus said that if that's what you seek, food, drink, clothing, and that kind of matters. Jesus said, that's what idolaters seek. They eagerly seek those things. But yet your Heavenly Father knows you need them. And so Jesus says, faith matters and worry does not. Back to that word worry for a moment. When you take apart that word worry and you study that word worry, let me tell you what you're going to get to. You're going to get that worry divides the heart. Worry distracts the heart. That's what it does. It divides the heart. It distracts the heart. You know what worry is? Worry pulls you apart. The word indicates like we had a tug of war and it was my body. And over my right would be somebody pulling this part. Over my left would be somebody pulling this part. And they'd be pulling me apart. That's what worry does. Worry pulls you apart. Isn't that amazing how Jesus talked in such relevant terminology? Worry wears you down. Worry pulls you in all kind of different directions. Worry works through this and becomes an unnatural thing. It is not natural for you to worry. Jesus, when he saved you, he wired you not to worry. He changed you. He gave you character. He gave you an inner man that's supposed to trust God in the midst of everything. And worry is unspiritual. You know, that is a good word to say. So many times we try to justify it and we try to glorify it. And we, well, I'm not worrying or I'm not. But yeah, what are we doing? It's unspiritual. I mean, when we worry, it shows one thing. We don't trust God. So we're going to take this thing in our hand and we're going to possess it and control it because we can do a lot better than God can do with it, right? Sure. Well, the scripture here says that we need to see that faith matters and worry does not. Life many times is about what you pursue. And I'm going to ask you today, what are you pursuing? What are you chasing after in your life? Are you chasing after food and drink and stuff in life? Or are you chasing after God? Other things that you go after in your life, they all result in worry. All of them put the load on you. All of them make you carry the load by yourself, but not faith. Faith doesn't do that. Faith puts you back on the solid rock of Jesus Christ because he is the cornerstone of your faith. He is the object of your faith. And when you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, you're going to trust God that he is going to be the one to provide for your needs. Principle number five. Boy, we need this one. Are you ready? Today matters. Tomorrow does not. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said the key to life is this. He said, you don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to have enough worry in and of itself. That's a good little statement, isn't it? But I love this statement at the last of verse 34. I just think it's one of Jesus' classic statements. You know what Jesus said? Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. I mean, some of you are already worried about tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, you got all kind of loadful issues today. Today. You can't worry about tomorrow. You got to worry about today. And you know, we're so drawn to the future. We're so living in the future that we miss the present so many days in our lives. But I don't know if you've thought about it lately, but I want to tell every man and woman here today, every teenager here today, I want to tell every businessman today, every mom here today, whether you work in or outside of the home, let me just tell you, you cannot control tomorrow. The only thing you can control is your attitude and your responses to today, period. That's it. You can't control tomorrow. How many times do you get yourself all jacked up and all worried about and all stressed out and all pulled apart and all that stuff? Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Oh, no. Oh, oh. And it doesn't even come close. I mean, don't you ever feel like an idiot? Or have you just gotten so used to that you're used to feeling like an idiot? I mean, which one is it? I mean, it really, we need to get a hold of this, man. This is real life stuff. And Jesus is trying to help us live life in a better way. You don't have to worry about a day that is in front of you. Jesus said you need to focus on today. So today. Today. Jesus not only gave us in the passage what I believe are five principles about what matters and what doesn't. But Jesus drills down a little deeper and he tells us about what matters most. I want to talk about that real briefly before we go today. What does Jesus say matters most? Two things. First, the condition of your heart. That's what matters most. The condition of your heart, whatever your heart is into, is what you value in your life. If you were to go to the Cooper Clinic in Dallas, Texas, I go there every year and I get an annual physical. And you were to go there and you were to sit down and you were to talk with their staff, and that's what they do for a long time. And as you go through that process, they're going to basically come back sooner or later to one basic principle you've got to get a hold of in your life physically. The most important organ in your body is your heart. Your heart. That's why Kenneth Cooper developed such a commitment to aerobic and exercise. He got America jogging, running. The whole process of doing something to help this thing called your heart to become stronger and more powerful and more consistent in your life. Well, your spiritual heart is the most important thing in your spiritual life. Even more so than your physical heart is to your body. You see, what your heart follows is really a reality report about where you are. You'd be kind of like the guy who says, oh, I don't have any heart issues. My heart's in great condition. You go in the emergency room. You go to your doctor's office. Your blood pressure's out of control. Cholesterol's high. They do tests on you. You got blockage. You got issues. You don't even know it. Oh, I'm doing good. No, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And you ignore it. You know what? You wouldn't do that if that were your physical heart. If you did, you know, then you just went back on that level you don't need to be at. That's not wise. But what would you do? You would deal with it. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. What you follow in your life, what you chase after in your life, shows the reality of where your heart is. That's exactly what it is. And Jesus said, because of that, you need to look at the condition of your heart. He always pulled us back to the heart. Some of us today, you know what we need? We need heart surgery. We need heart surgery. Some of us need a stent put in. A stent. We have a little bit of blockage between us and God. And what might seem to be an impossible procedure, you know, it's not that impossible, because through a real fresh encounter with Jesus, he takes away that blockage between you and him, and he renews that relationship in a brand new way. Some of us, we're in a little bit worse shape, and the blockage is so severe that we need a spiritual bypass. I mean, we need some little more detail going on. A little more invasive surgery happening. Because if we don't get a hold of it, it's going to lead us down a path that is not good, a path that's going to hurt our life. It could hurt our family. It could hurt ultimately the testimony, our testimony for Jesus in the world. And some of us need that. In fact, some of us might need two or three bypasses. Some of us have some real issues. We might need five. I don't know what you need, but I'm telling you, the condition of your heart, you better take care of spiritually. And some of us, we need a heart transplant. Man, this old heart's evil. It's wicked. You know what's really amazing about all of us? Many of us that know Christ as Lord and Savior, that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave you a heart transplant when he saved you. He took out of your life that which separated you, and he sealed it with a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ, through the grace of God. And there are many of you this morning, you know what? You've tried to do better. You've tried to make enough new resolutions in your life. You've tried to make enough great decisions to get you better. But you know what? You're still not there. Well, I'll tell you, the real secret to ever having any chance of getting better is when Jesus gives you a brand new heart. That's the best way in the world. And you need to let him do that for you today. So what matters most? The condition of your heart. But also what matters most, Jesus said, is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you seek this, it will result in all of your needs being met in your life. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I ask you this morning, what are you seeking? What are you chasing after? Now remember, we're not talking about some guru on television that has a followership of multiple millions. We're not talking about great people who influence people's lives in a positive direction, whether they're born again or they're not. We're not talking about those people. We're not talking about some philosophy or some new methodology that you discover on the internet because you're so smart. You're going to try to figure out and diagnose yourself and help yourself to come to a better conclusion of life. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the living Son of God who died for you, gave his life for you. And he's telling you today that what matters most in your life is not only the condition of your heart, but the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what he says. So today I ask you, what are you pursuing? You just going to ignore him? Now listen, if that's your wife, you might want to ignore her every now and then. If that's your husband, you may want to ignore them. If that's your kids, you may choose to ignore them sometime. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Jesus, the King of Kings, telling you like it is. And what he says is God can and God will meet your needs when you seek him above all else. Because what's above all else is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I close this morning by asking you these things. What kingdom are you seeking? Your own kingdom? Your career kingdom? Your money kingdom? Your portfolio kingdom? Now some of you're seeking your family kingdom. Well, I mean, you're big in the family. Family kingdom. Some of you are seeking your hobby kingdom. Or your sports kingdom. We got all kind of kingdoms. Ah, if my child can just do this, oh, no telling what will happen to him. Lord, help us all. What kingdom are you really seeking after? And I ask every parent today, every grandparent today, what kingdom are you teaching your kids and your grandkids about the most? Some of us act like we're going to be here our whole lives. Well, if you're saved, your life, it doesn't ever end. Your body does, but your life doesn't. You go straight to heaven with Jesus. And you're going to be there a lot longer than you are here. What kingdom is most important? I've been a pastor a long time. It's hard to believe how long I've been a pastor. That tells me a couple of things. Number one, I've been a pastor a long time. Number two, I'm getting older. But as I've observed people, and I've observed a lot of them by the thousands, here's what I've discovered. It usually takes a tragedy, a major transition, a major sin that becomes exposed, an illness, a dumb decision you make, the loss of something or someone you love, or the threat of losing it. Before we ever learn the lesson, what matters, what doesn't. Question, what is it going to take for you to come to the place in your life to really learn what matters, what doesn't? What's it going to take? Is it going to take you getting diagnosed with a disease and the doctor tells you you have 6 months to live before it all starts coming together for you? Is it going to take the loss of a job or the loss of your financials? What's it going to take? Is it going to take the loss of your family? What's it going to take? What is the price tag? What's it going to take? Well, you know, maturity in the Christian life, it shouldn't take any of those things. Right? Right. Maturity in the Christian life, it should take one thing. Jesus saying what's important and me aligning my life by it into it. That's what it should take. Well, that's just being compliant. No, it's called obedience to Christ. Period. You obey because you love Him. And you love Him because He loves you. And the only reason you can love Him is because He loved you first. And He gave His all for you. I challenge you today in the name of Jesus to learn it right now. What matters and what doesn't.